Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Actually, a lot of good topics today on a Thursday. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Thursday. We just saw the Seahawks make a move from the Cowboys. Bad news for LaMarcus Aldridge. Well, maybe not bad news for him. He's retiring. He's got a lot of stacks of money. He's fine. He's happy. He's retiring, so Brooklyn, a very noisy team this year, has another thing they have to deal with. What a year for Brooklyn. The noisiest NBA team in years.
Noisiest, and a lot of kind of manufactured angst and hate from the rest of the NBA. But listen, the NBA Finals, no matter who makes it at this point, is going to be very, very interesting.
It is. Let's start with this. So it is official. Jadeveon Clowney is now a member of the Cleveland Browns. Don't listen to the critics. He can play. He's not as good as you thought he would be out of college, but he can play. This now means Cleveland has 10 former first-round picks and 3 former number one picks. Nobody else can say that. Baker, there's only 2 things keeping this Cleveland Brown team from getting to a Super Bowl. Injuries, which absolutely nobody can predict, and the quarterback. Because I can think of about 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks that if you gave these edge rushers to, can you imagine if Dak Prescott, beyond his offensive personnel, had the best O-line and this defense? This is a championship team, and only 2 things will stop it, Baker or injuries. And so far, both are hard to predict. Here's a fact. In the last 20 years in the NFL, this is a fact. If you make more than Tom Brady at quarterback, you cannot win a Super Bowl unless your last name is Manning. So you either have to be a veteran taking a massive pay cut. Aaron Rodgers won't. Doesn't win the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson won't. Drew Brees did, and then he won a Super Bowl. Or you have to be a quarterback on your rookie deal. And it's very weird. There's no other job like this in America. In fact, there's no other job like this in sports. It's the only job, NFL quarterback, where the most talent you'll ever play with is often right out of college. Think about that. You come out of college, you're the most overwhelmed, you've never played in this league, and basically, that's the most talent you'll ever have. From that point forward, unless you take massive pay cuts, you'll have less talent to play with. It would be like, for the rest of us, the day you got your driver's license, they gave you the keys to a Lamborghini and said, hey, drive for a few hours through rush hour traffic in Los Angeles. No easing around a parking lot or your neighborhood. Here's a Lambo. It's 5:45. Drive crosstown in Los Angeles on the 405. There's no other job like that. I mean, look at LeBron's career. The longer he's played, the better players he's played with. Kevin Durant's career. Go start looking at him. Because in the NBA and other sports, you join forces. But in the NFL, when you're the most overwhelmed, you get the most talent. Here's the keys. Go play with all these fun toys. And you really don't have your sea legs. It's almost unfair. And so we know Baker early in his career could not overcome a bad coach and average offensive line. He's not talented enough. Andrew Luck could. I think Trevor Lawrence will be able to. But Baker's like most young quarterback. Got talent, needs help. But now Baker has the number one offensive line and the number one running backs. Tight ends are outstanding, the best pure edge rusher in the NFL. They upgraded their secondary. It's go time. Baker now joins in a very elite club. I would call it the pressure club. There's 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, no more excuses. Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, Kyler Murray, and Daniel Jones. There's just way too much talent around you now. I'm sorry, Matt Stafford goes to a coach, Sean McVay, who has never been under 500 in his life. Matt, you got to win these games because this coach wins games. Every game Matt Stafford now plays in division is a television game. You have to wait to Thanksgiving to get on television. Every week, Rams Niners, Rams Seahawks, Rams Cardinals. These are television games. These are networks fighting for them. Baker Mayfield. You got 10 first-round picks. Three number ones. Daniel Jones. Kenny Golladay. Kyle Rudolph. You already had decent receivers and a good tight end. Carson Wentz. Was it Philly's issue? By the end of this year, we'll know if it's theirs or yours. And Kyler Murray, they have surrounded you with a bunch of sage old veterans. It's go time. No more fourth place. So now how will they react to it? How will Matt Stafford react to, oh, every single game is a TV game, and if we lose, it's on me because my coach has never been under 500. And how will Baker Mayfield be with pressure? This is a championship roster. The only thing that can hold them back is major injuries to the O-line or Myles Garrett or Baker Mayfield. And early in his career, when there was some pressure on Baker, year two wasn't great. So we'll see how it works. But it is a very unique club. Five guys, you got to win now. And you got to win big. Got to win a lot of games. Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers won 12 games. You got to win 13. And now you have an extra game from 16 to 17. So Carson, you got to win 13 games. That's just what you got. Matt, they made all these picks for you and Jared Goff. You got to win 11, 12 games. I don't want to hear 9, 10. Don't hear it. Everything's changed. Culture's changed. Got too many good players, too many good coaches around you. So I thought this was a very interesting story. Trevor Lawrence has been, I mean, think about how good Trevor Lawrence is. He's the quarterback out of Clemson. In 2019, we didn't know who would be the number one pick in the draft. In 2020, we didn't know who would be the number one pick in the draft. But in 2019, we knew who would be the 2021 number one pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence. 3 years out, we were like, yeah, he'll be number one in 3 years. We don't know quite in 2019, 2020. The Joe Burrow thing was late, right? His dad comes out and he says, you know, he's not award-driven. He's I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. That's not who he is. There's no doubt about that. He could walk away from the NFL tomorrow and be fine. Others who know Trevor Lawrence, you know, it's just football doesn't define him. And my first reaction is, ooh, I don't know. But that was Andrew Luck. That was very much Andrew Luck, who started a book club. Andrew Luck would still be playing today if he just had a competent general manager and coach. And you have to be careful about this, because on Sundays, Trevor Lawrence did not watch the NFL. He hung out and chilled with his girlfriend who he just married. Is that the Bradys and the MJs and the LeBrons and the Peyton Mannings, this relentless, obsessive quest and thirst, that's the outlier. I mean, look at your career. Look at ours. How many people are truly driven? Those are outlier stories. I mean, look at the Lakers, AD and LeBron. AD is just chill. He's all good, man. LeBron is laser focused, business life. And so you look at that story with Trevor Lawrence and you go, oh, that's a concern. And then I think to myself, well, why would he have a chip on his shoulder? Trevor Lawrence admits here, he says, I don't have a huge chip. Everybody's not out to get me. Not everybody's trying to prove me wrong. I can't manufacture that. Well, that's because since he was 14, he's been the best quarterback in the country. Nobody ever has doubted Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't resent people because people have helped him. And I also think this generation of quarterbacks is different. Is that they've been protected, coached, sometimes coddled since the eighth grade. It didn't used to be like that. So we may be moving into a generation where quarterbacks aren't angry. They don't have a giant boulder on their shoulder. When I look at Trevor Lawrence, he's passionate. He gets better every year. He seems to love football, but he doesn't have to resent anybody to get there. There's a lot of different ways in 2020 to play quarterback. All shapes, all sizes, all personalities. I admit when I first saw that story, I could walk away from it tomorrow. But I look at my own kids. My kids want to be successful, but they don't have to be angry like I was in my 20s to get there. And the reality is, when I look at Trevor Lawrence, remember, Joe Montana was called Joe Cool. It was Brady, like Michael Jordan. We never thought as Wilt as angry or Dr. J as angry or Magic as angry. And then Michael came around, and we loved that story. Cut from his high school team. Brother dunked on him. We loved that relentless obsessive, manufactured chip. But the problem with that, it wore everybody out. You watch the documentary. Hell, it even wore Michael out. He quit twice. There's a lot of different ways to get there. A lot. And we may be moving into a generation of quarterbacks who don't have to hate to be great. Who don't have to resent to dominate. They've been protected, coached, monitored, sometimes coddled since the seventh grade. That's not how Phil Simms grew up. That's not how Tom Brady grew up. Listen, Eli Manning's got two Super Bowls. He could have taken a nap at halftime of games. That was his personality. Philip Rivers doesn't have any, and he was yelling and screaming and dog cussing everybody on the field. There's a lot of different ways to win, and you don't have to have the chip and resent people to do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I think pro days are nonsense. It's guys in shorts throwing the ball to college teammates. There's no pass rush. It's you against air. I don't think it means anything. I think yesterday, actually, Justin Fields, Ohio State quarterback pro day, meant something. It was his second. Kyle Shanahan was there. They got the number three pick. Chicago's head coach, Matt Nagy, was there. Decision makers were there. And it does matter. Because he's gotten the most criticism of all the quarterbacks. And what's funny about this, it is kind of interesting, that of the five first-round quarterbacks, their college careers mirror their draft process. So Trevor Lawrence was the anointed son. Number one, that's his career. Well, this whole draft process, we don't even talk about him. He's just a given. He's number one. And then there was Zach Wilson. He was the shooting star. Ooh, shoot, his career was like, who is he? He's unbelievable. Well, look at his draft process. 2 months ago, he became the guaranteed number two pick, and there was no question about it. Mac Jones, didn't know much about him. The more you hear, the more people are talking about him, and the more impressed you are. That was his college career. Oh, he wasn't even a draft prospect at the start of his college career. And now he's going to go top three maybe, and that's kind of his draft process. We didn't talk about him 4 months ago being a first-round pick. And now the more you see, the more you appreciate. Then there's Trey Lance, which is we don't know much about him, and we didn't talk about him in college. And after his pro day, nobody has talked about him. He's literally the invisible quarterback. And then there's Justin Fields. And Justin Fields could be hot and cold. And his draft process has been hot and cold. He was the number two. No, that's Zach Wilson. No, he's three. No, that's Mac Jones. He's four. It's a bit of a roller coaster. But where I feel bad for Justin Fields is, and this is just the world we live in, and it's not going backwards. You can lie on the internet, and it doesn't matter. It's an avalanche. It's a forest fire. Politics, that's where Trump was so effective. He knew he could just make something up. It became truth. We're in a post-truth society. You just make stuff up about people. In the last 3 months, when people come up to me on the street, you want to know what they often ask me about? When are you going to go to Barstool? Barstool Sports. I'm not going. Well, I read a blog that I'd never heard of printed it. Another blog that I'd heard of but don't read printed it. And then every blog had it. Nobody called me. Not one person. Nobody called Barstool. Nobody called anybody. It was just truth. I was going to Barstool. By the way, they do a great job. I'd never even met anybody there. But it doesn't matter. This is the Justin Fields story. It's the lie, and the lie has just been, it's become an avalanche now. The Ringer wrote a story about this. Back in February, somebody mentioned to an NFL team representative at the Senior Bowl that they asserted that Justin Fields never threw to his second read. He targeted the player that was the primary receiver and did not have the ability to go to a second receiver. Only 7 out of 225 attempts were to anybody but the number one receiver. And that just became a forest fire. And then USA Today's Doug Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, actually went back and with the Draft Network's Benjamin Solak, they actually did homework on it. And they found that Justin Fields actually threw beyond his first read 42 times for a rate of 19%, which is actually higher than Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. Oh, so it's not true at all. But it doesn't matter. A politician can say something, nobody fact checks, they agree with it politically, so it's the truth, I'll retweet it. And he just makes stuff up with Justin Fields. Oh, he literally cannot get through his progressions. I mean, he cannot go to a second read. Oh, he did it more than all of them. And that is the world we live in. I'm not working at Barstool Sports. It's a fine company. But the blogs never called either of us and just asked. And nobody actually went to the tape with Justin Fields. So when your politician says something and you just retweet it because you agree with it, just realize 99% of the stuff on Twitter is just nonsense and an avalanche and a forest fire that has never been checked.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
LeVar Arrington is going to disagree with me. Former Pro Bowl linebacker, Fox Sports NFL analyst. He joins me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I look at Jadeveon Clowney. Years ago, the Seahawks, when Russell Wilson was on a rookie contract, they went out and got Percy Harvin. Now, Percy had major migraine headache issues. They didn't get him for 17 games, LeVar. What they got him for was, hey, situationally, you put him in motion. The safety has to, you have to guard, you have to defend Percy Harvin because of his speed. And he didn't play much. He was just a random individual situational player. And I look at Jadeveon Clowney and I say, they're not getting him for September. What they're getting him for is a big Steeler game, make a play. So I like a one-year deal with Clowney. You are not as high on Jadeveon Clowney.
I'm a Jadeveon Clowney fan. I'm just not a Jadeveon Clowney apologist. I'm a realist. All right? And so we have to take a look at this. And what season is this going to be for him, Colin? I think it's eight. This will be eight.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jadeveon Clowney dominate as a NFL football player?
Never.
So to me, I can't say I'm high on him when there would be no reason to say, wow, he's going to Cleveland to be a situational player with Myles Garrett. Let Myles Garrett carry the load and Jadeveon can play situational football. Isn't that what he was able to do for his entire first part of his career with arguably top three all-time defensive ends, defensive linemen, defensive players in the history of our game?
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
If it didn't work out with J.J. Watt for you to be a dominant force, then how is it going to work out with Myles Garrett? Right. I'm just saying, it's just process of elimination to me. So it's not that I'm not high on him. I'm just saying that it's not feasible to think that Jadeveon Clowney situationally, like Percy Harvin, I'm sorry, or three down guy, he's going to be a difference maker for the Cleveland Browns. At best, he will be what he has been, a serviceable, good pro on the team that he plays for, and you hope that he can fight through the pain of the injuries and the surgeries that he's had during the course of his career, and that he can have some production to assist where he can assist as a role player on this team.
Wow. I like that. It's very good, strong take. Very, very. That's why we put you on all the time. Very good take. Okay, how about this?
Well, I learned from the best. You know, you taught me well, Colin. You know what I mean? I just pay attention.
Now, one of the things I've talked about for years, if you look at the quarterbacks that have really flourished in the NFL, it's a lot of chip on your shoulder, guys. Big Ben was overlooked by Ohio State, had to go to Miami of
overlooked.
Ohio.
Overlooked.
Yeah, Russell overlooked. Wilson, Dak, overlooked. Brady, Montana.
Overlooked.
And then
overlooked.
So the quotes are coming out from Trevor Lawrence's high school coach and his dad, which is, He could give up football. He's a happy kid. Football doesn't define him. And my initial reaction is, whoa. And then I think to myself, well, that was Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was successful. His team was just incompetent, and he got the crap beat out of him and had to retire. Are you worried at all when you hear football doesn't define Trevor Lawrence?
Have you guys taken a look at Trevor Lawrence? The hair, the jaw structure, the height. You talked about Tom Brady being a looker. Please, this guy, he's a looker. All right. When they bred Trevor Lawrence. When Trevor was born, they were like, football Jesus, here's what a quarterback for a football team is supposed to look like. And all he did was just continue to grow into it. The kid lost two games at Clemson. Two games? Sheesh. He's a kid that has a tremendous plan. He has a tremendous support system. And when you have support, I said this earlier on First Things First, right? A man with a plan is much more dangerous than a man with a chip on his shoulder. I think I'm going to take the man with the plan versus the man with the chip on his shoulder every single time, because they are taking whatever that energy that they have and they're directing it and focusing it on one singular purpose. And I look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence doesn't need to do anything to convince anybody other than what he has shown you already. And I think that that's a testament to how quiet it's been surrounding the fanfare, the criticisms. Quarterbacks are always players, top players, number one draft picks. There's always somebody who digs deep to find criticisms of a player. He might be the first one that I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? It's because it's rightfully so. Yeah. He's not an Andrew Luck. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's not a Russell Wilson. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's not any of those other names that you named. I heard the whole Tom Brady's comparisons and all that stuff. You're right, Joy. Leave him alone. Leave him out of it. He's the greatest of all time. But I'll tell you what, this is Trevor Lawrence. And he's going to a market where he's going to have to fight every step of the way to prove that he is a franchise quarterback and a great quarterback. But he's the type of guy with the right demeanor, the right idea, the right self-identity, and the plan to be able to go in there with Urban Meyer and turn this thing into something nice in Jacksonville. We know it can be good in Jacksonville. We've seen it. Mark Brunell showed you it could be possible. Get a good running back, Fred Taylor. Get a Bocelli, an anchor man on the offensive line. Get a couple guys, Donovan Darius and some Brackens and some Sean Stroud on the defense side of the ball. And you got something. Yeah. It could happen, and Urban Meyer's the guy to do it, and Trevor Lawrence is probably most certainly the guy that you can lean on at that position to get it started.
All right, about 90 seconds left. Give me the best defensive player in the draft and why.
Micah Parsons is easily the best defensive player in the draft. It doesn't take a genius, a rocket scientist, an expert to see that his skill set and his abilities and his awareness and his understanding of the game. I compare him, if Ray Lewis and Von Miller could have a baby, it would be Micah Parsons. He gets to the ball. He's getting off of the pile every single time. He led the team in tackles as a freshman, first time ever.
Wow.
And he's a former defensive end from high school. He can pass rush as well, just as well as someone of the caliber of a Von Miller. So you get the best of both worlds. You can only mess up by messing up. You put him out there, that's a win.
Yeah, his tape is great, by the way.
It's amazing. It jumps off. And he wears them sticks, you know, represent, you know, hey, Cullen. Represent them sticks, baby. You know what I mean? Represent them sticks, baby. I know that's the other, the network, but you know what I mean? I did do it with that 11 back in the day. You see that Penn State, baby.
LeVar Arrington. By the way, LeVar, TJ Hushmanzada, Plaxico Burress host, up on game Saturdays, Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
1 to 3.
Absolutely.
Eastern. Good seeing you,
thanks,
bud.
Thanks for the plug.
You bet. LeVar Arrington. Good stuff.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You know, last year I fell for the Clippers, but they were the noisiest team in the NBA. So remember, first it started, they bring Kawhi and Paul George. The press conference is crazy town. And then all we heard for the first 3 months, they're going to take over LA. billboards everywhere. And then all of a sudden you started hearing stories about, yeah, favorable treatment to Paul George. It's not going very well. And then everybody was missing games and there were chemistry issues. They never played together. And then there was the Lou Williams hot wing story. And then you looked up and they just didn't have any chemistry. And it was just too noisy. And we all knew they were talented. I fell for it. I'm like, that's the deepest team in the NBA when they're healthy. But the problem is they never played together. And chemistry is hard to build in a relationship. Forget a team of alphas. Now you look at Kevin Durant and the Warriors, or at Kevin Durant and the Nets. They're becoming the Clippers. They never play together. The narrative is, oh, when they play together, they're great. They play together 7 games. They're also becoming incredibly noisy. So before the season started, we don't need a coach. And then the season starts and Kyrie takes like a 2-week sabbatical. And then they make a massive trade and give up their bench for James Harden. And then you get these stories like LaMarcus Aldridge just retired. And last night, they had two last night. LaMarcus Aldridge retired wasn't the only story. Kyrie Irving had 37 last night and did not play the final 8 minutes of a close game against the Sixers because they wanted to make the bench happy. And I'm like, oh God, somebody's going to resent that. But the Clippers and the Nets have some very unique comparisons. Super talented rosters. Don't play together much. We assume they're veterans. Not all veterans get along. Secondly, they both have a great player who has struggled in the postseason. Paul George, Clippers, great player. But Paul has, these are legendary struggles. Last year in the playoffs, he was bad. And James Harden, great player. But he's not the same player in the playoffs. They also both have stars. Their best player is Kawhi and Kevin Durant. And they're similar. They're quirky. They're great guys to add to a team. But there is no proof either you can build around their personality. Opposite of LeBron. LeBron has shown time and time again, here's the weight of the world in your shoulders, and he can just emotionally handle it. He can physically handle it. LeBron's the rock of the NBA. I mean, just emotionally, physically. I mean, he's getting older, getting banged up a little bit. But you can build around LeBron. You can build around D-Wade. There's players you can build around. Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are mercenaries. That can't be disputed. You add them to good Golden State, Toronto, San Antonio cultures. You add them, they can win. They can get you titles. But there is no proof you can build around them. Kevin Durant would not confront Westbrook in Oklahoma City, so he just bailed. He would not confront Draymond Green with his issues in Golden State, so he just bailed. He's more of a bailer. He's a wanderer. In fact, people who like him call him a wanderer. So when you start looking at the Nets and the Clippers, the stars are kind of similar, quirky. They were both going to surpass LeBron as the best player in the league. That was the, for years, that was Kevin Durant. And that last couple years, that's been Kawhi. Neither really is a force of nature you can build around. There's no precedent. They both have a Harden, a Paul George, a great Hall of Fame player who struggled in the postseason. They're never healthy. They never play together. And they're noisy as hell. I mean, just Brooklyn's just story after story. And the Clippers were story. I talked to Doc Rivers about this on a podcast. And he said, you know, I knew we were in trouble. Like, I kept telling the guys in the bubble, like, guys, we're not playing together. We've never played together this year. And remember, we kept saying, when they do, they're great. They're 12-1. Yes, when these guys play together, they're great. They haven't. And I look at this story. Last night's classic. Aldridge retires, which he should if he's got a heart problem. And Kyrie doesn't play the last 8 minutes against the team they'll probably meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's weird. That's noisy. And he had a great night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm looking at this story about the NFL draft. We have 5 quarterbacks going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
One of them's going to drop. And everybody's going to go, oh, it's terrible. Never forget that Aaron Rodgers dropped to a winning organization. Never forget that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen dropped to playoff teams. Buffalo, Kansas City. Playoff teams moved up because they weren't number one picks. Trey Lance could be very lucky here. So if you look at the draft board, we know a quarterback's going 1, 2, and 3 for sure. And right now we think it's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and either Mac Jones or Justin Fields. We also know that Atlanta is fielding calls and would like to move out from number four, and there probably will be a team. It could be Washington. It could be Chicago. My guess is Denver moves up to four to get a quarterback. Once that happens, if Trey Lance is not drafted, and if Justin Fields is on the board at four, he's going to get picked before Trey. Look at how many teams in a row don't need a quarterback. Bengals at five don't. Dolphins at six won't. Lions at seven have too many holes. They're not drafting a quarterback. Don't buy that. They're just saying that so somebody will trade their pick. Detroit's not drafting a quarterback. The cap hit on Jared Goff is awful. The Panthers aren't drafting a quarterback. They should fire their GM if they do. They got two right now. They're trying to get rid of one. Atlanta would be nine if they trade with Denver. They're not going to draft a quarterback. They got too many needs. Dallas doesn't need one. Giants don't need one. Eagles aren't drafting one. Chargers got one. I don't think the Vikings. Mike Zimmer's a defensive coach. He wants help. He wants a pass rush. They didn't have any pass rush last year. You got enough offensive guy. He doesn't need another quarterback. Patriots at 15. Now, New England's not going to sit there and wait. They probably will move up. But Trey Lance is the kid. Now, again, Mahomes, there's always a silver lining. Mahomes and Josh Allen dropped to playoff teams, to Andy Reid, Sean McDermott. One of the best coaches ever, one of the best young coaches. So it's funny with Trey Lance. Nobody's talking about him. My guess is we're going quarterback, 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 quarterback. And Trey's going to be the guy that drops. And you start looking here. These teams are not taking quarterbacks. And I think New England's going to sit there and be patient because they know Cincinnati's not drafting a quarterback. And they know you're going to wreck Tua if you draft Trey Lance. And all these teams talking about quarterbacks like Carolina and Detroit, they're saying that to drive people into their spot. They're not drafting a quarterback in Detroit. That team has no talent. Jared Goff's cap hit's terrible. They need players. And as much as I hear Carolina and a quarterback, well, how much are you going to pay the position? You're paying Sam $18 million. What are you paying Teddy Bridgewater? It would be, you'd literally have to examine the GM's head in Carolina. They don't have a left tackle. You're going to bring Sam Darnold to a place where, once again, he has no protection. They don't have any corners in a division with Tom Brady and Matt Ryan throwing the ball around. So I just think, when I look at this draft, I look at Trey Lance and I think to myself, he may be the luckiest kid in this draft. You know, I tell you, whenever I speak to college kids or high school kids about broadcasting, you know, one of the things I always say is no is a powerful word. Don't necessarily take the first job you're offered. Like have some discretion about stuff. Or if you don't get the first job you think you wanted, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. So, you know, my first job I was offered, KUFO in Midland, Texas. And I know it's crazy, but I said no. I did not want to work for an extraterrestrial radio station in the middle of Texas. And I when I said that, I would have done play-by-play out of college. And there was part of me that thought, I'm making a big mistake. But I thought, no, I trust me. I'm going to get a better offer. And I got Vegas. I was very, very lucky. But in the end, your first job offer is not the best. And don't lose hope if you don't get exactly what you want. You start looking at NFL history, a lot of quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, a lot of these quarterbacks that drop, you end up with less chaos on a better organization. New England's going to get a quarterback. They're going to get a quarterback. And my takeaway is, what a place to start.
And look at Dak Prescott.
Russell Wilson. I mean, you start Joe Montana. You everybody freaks out, guys dropping. All it means when you drop is you go to a better roster.
There's a reason that those teams are generally picking at the top of the draft.
Joy, the same team, Detroit and Jacksonville.
The Bengals
had
the first overall pick, and now they have the fifth overall pick.
There's like six teams that have been drafting top 10 forever. So I think Trey Lance may be the guy that drops, and don't be shocked if Trey Lance drops to a really good football team. And I personally know Trey Lance, and I can vouch for his character. I like him a lot.